for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, June the 30th, 1997. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning. From Jacksonville, Florida, who has carried here with him a great big box of frozen fish that we'll have a fish fry the 4th of July. He's going to come and minister to us this morning. Brother George.
Well, the Lord has placed on me an awesome responsibility this morning. And it becomes even more awesome when I see all the little ones there that's got to grow up.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, folks. We live in troublous times. Hallelujah. Well, a lot of you I know, and a lot of you I haven't met and don't know. As Glenn said, I'm George Wingate from Florida. Native Floridian. And my mother and dad, I'm the youngest of four children. My sister next to me is 14 years older than I am. So I'm the baby. When I come along, my mother and dad had totally surrendered to the Lord and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they dedicated me to God. And before I was a year old, the devil was intent on destroying me. At about 3 years old, I fell off of a dock into the river, the St. John's River, that has a pretty good flowing tide. And to this day, we don't know the man that come along and snatched me out of there and took me out on the dock and put me over a barrel and they rolled the water out of me. So I believe it was an angel. And I can stand here the rest of the morning telling you of incidents where my life has been challenged time and time again. But by the grace of God and the mercy of God, here I am. So it proves the devil is an absolute liar, because one time he came and stood right by me and he said, you're talking too much, I'm going to kill you. Now, if that isn't enough to shake you up, I don't know what would be. But praise God, I'm here, and I intend and I expect to be around for a while yet, uncovering and destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a book back there on the table, and before I really get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I want to mention it to you. It's Jesse Penn Lewis and Evan Roberts' War on the Saints. There is a war going on. The devil is a deceiver from the word go. 2 Corinthians of chapter 11, Paul says that Satan comes as an angel of light. Well, he is appearing in different parts of the world today as that angel of light. And Paul goes on to say, and his ministers, who are Satan's ministers? I didn't hear you. Come on. Demons! Don't be afraid to say it. I've had people tell me, we don't want to talk about the devil. In other words, just ignore him and he'll go away. No. He'll eat your dinner.
Good.
Satan's ministers are demons. And they come. Now listen to this. They come as ministers of righteousness. Read it. And if your Bible doesn't say it, then you better change Bibles. Hallelujah. Now, if I step on some toes this morning, bear with me. You walk on the bottom of them, and it doesn't hurt a bit. So if I walk on the top, just pretend and say, okay, it don't hurt a bit. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of the Living God, is the only way that we're going to get to really know God. And Jesus
is God, is the Spirit of God, and Jesus said that no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And the Spirit just doesn't want to draw us to the Father. That Spirit, the Holy Ghost, wants to come inside of us and live within us and then proceed, if we will let Him, to lead us into truth. We look back over the history of Christianity and we see where before the Bible got screwed up with so many different versions that there were mighty men of God and the power of God worked through them in the miraculous. And little by little by little, the enemy has said, okay, I'll just create some more Bibles and I'll water it down a little bit and I'll leave this little bit out and I'll leave that little bit out. And the next thing you know, we have just some words without any authority behind them. Because the Holy Ghost watches over the words of God to perform them. Not the words of some man. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is, What is Your Foundation? What is your foundation? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 11. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says, For other foundation. For other foundation. Can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and it says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus made the statement, He said, What I have done, you will do. So if Jesus was the Word made flesh, and Jesus said, What I've done, you will do, does He not expect us, the Word in us, to change us? Until we are walking epistles read of all men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. God don't see us like we see each other or like we see ourselves. If we could look through the eyes of God and see ourselves, we'd fall flat on our face and cry out to God with every ounce of our being, and say, Oh, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. And yet God says, Hey, I will have a people. I will have a remnant. I will. And let me say, if God says I will, you can bet your last nickel that it will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Y'all all probably be ahead of me. I've got an old Bible here. It was printed in 1928, and the pages are yellow and it's brittle. I have to be careful with it. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. What happens if you build a building on a sorry foundation? Are we not buildings, tabernacles of God? My grandson came to stay with us some years ago, and about between 11 and 12 years old, I think he's about 11 and a half. And without going into the story of how he rode a bus from California to Florida, I'll just say that when he got there, he was a pitiful-looking sight. He'd been on drugs. He was a flop in school, an absolute failure. Broke my heart. So the second day he was there, I couldn't even talk to him the first day. Second day, I sat him down and talked with him, and I asked him a straightforward question. I said, "Michael, do you want to be a success or a failure?" Well, anybody with any sense at all is not going to say, "I want to be a failure." This is just not within us. We all want to be a success. So he said, "Well, Grandpa, I want to be a success." I said, "If I guarantee you a way to be a success, would you be interested?" "Oh, yes, sir." "Are you sure?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Number one, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Number one. And then number two, be willing to do what I tell you to do." He said, "Okay, well, okay, I'll do that." So we had some prayer time and repentance time, and he was supposed to be with us for that period of summer vacation. And I said, "Now, I want you to read the book of Proverbs 25 times while you're here this summer. 31 chapters. An average reader can read it in 2 hours. He got busy, and he started reading. Well, it come time for him to go back to California, and about a week before that date come up, he came to me and he said, "Grandpa, I don't want to go back to California. Can I please stay with y'all?" I said, "Well, we'll have to get in touch with your mother and see what she has to say about it." Well, anyway, we made arrangements for him to stay with us, and we put him in school. Now, mind you, when he came, he was already a washout. We put him in school, and the first report card he brought home was all A's and B's. We're told that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation, and I would be pleased if somebody would get a glass of water for me. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And because the Word of God, and the best we have to go by, is the old King James that was written from a Textus Receptus. I believe it was around 1611, wasn't it, Speed? And since then, there has been some perversion of that text, and there's other Greek texts that have come out, and they've perverted and left out things, and today we've got many different versions with an awful lot of error and left out things. And I'll share a couple of three of them in a minute. The devil knows that the truth will make us free. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. Jesus, the attributes of the cross, everything that Jesus went through was for a specific purpose. It was for our absolute, total, complete freedom. And yet it isn't freedom as we would think in the natural. That freedom only comes when we submit our will to God. Otherwise, there is no freedom. If your will is not submitted to Almighty God through Jesus Christ, by being baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you are a slave to the devil, one way or another. There's no middle ground. You can't find it in the Bible that you can put God over there and the devil over there and just do your own thing. Not there. If it is, somebody show me and I'll change my way of thinking in a hurry. But I don't find where I can do my thing, just me. I'm either going to be the servant of the devil or the servant of God, or I'm going to make a mockery and think that I'm serving God, and at the same time I'll be a double-minded person and I'll be flip-flopping and unstable and everything. I don't want to be that way. I was a slave for quite a number of years to the enemy, and all I had was misery and woe. Well, when I became a Christian, I didn't totally get out of the misery and the woe, to speak. Because, again, the Word of God says that I must fill up the sufferings of Christ in my mortal body. Because Jesus said, "What I've done, you will do." He suffered, didn't he? He was a burden bearer, right? And he expects us, it says so in the Word, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. Hallelujah. But isn't it amazing that we can't really accept what Jesus has done for us because this thing here gets in the way? I get a simple illustration. I walk into this place and all of a sudden I've got sort of a little headache. Instead of saying, okay, God, who's got a headache around here that I need to pray for? Hear me now. I go to Brother Speed, and Brother Speed, would you please, the devil's giving me such a time, blah, blah. See? What am I saying? I'm saying I'm not dead to self yet. If I'm crucified with Christ, I'm supposed to be dead to self. And if I'm dead to self, and I'm taking care of myself like I'm supposed to, and all of a sudden I feel something going on, immediately I need to put my mind on the Lord and say, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? And if the Spirit of God is going to lead me into truth, He'll tell me whether it's this physical body or whether I'm feeling something through a word of knowledge for somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm sure that most of us can say we've been in some meetings where the minister would have a word of knowledge and you say, back here, you've been suffering with a backache or something like that. Come on up here, the Lord wants to heal you. First time I ever ministered here, Brother Glenn, 19 years ago. You weren't having a Sunday meeting at that time. And a bunch of us went to a little Pentecostal holiness church somewhere around here. And what an experience. There were two brothers, I think. They were pastors. And we walked into that little place, and one of them was standing outside and shaking everybody's hand. Walked in and sit down. Just expecting to have a good time. And with just a little bit of praise and worship. And the other brother got up there and he pointed to me and said, you come on up here. You got a word for us today. I didn't have anything, but the God that lives in me has everything. I hadn't said a dozen words for all of a sudden, chest pains hit me. Pains ran down this arm. Oh, man, now if it had been the natural man, I would have said, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. Get me to the hospital. I stopped and I said, somebody's been suffering with some heart trouble. The man on the front row to my right, that's me, brother. I said, come up here right now. God wants to heal you. I didn't say, okay, now if you just wait till the service is over, you know, don't interrupt my preaching.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
The man came up there, laid hands on him and prayed for him. And the power of God just totally restored. That man who had been told he couldn't do anything, that his heart was in such terrible shape, the very next day went out and drove his truck, a semi, one of them flatbed things, and he loaded it himself and then took it somewhere and unloaded it. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
Hallelujah. And many times God has brought me back from some very terrible situations. And thank God that He did. I remember one time they put me in a hospital. I was having awful trouble with my lower back. And so they put me 12 and a half pounds on each foot and strapped my shoulders to the head of the bed and gave me a shot for pain and said, okay, now in a few minutes that'll ease off and you'll get some rest, which I hadn't had for 3 or 4 days. And then at 5 o'clock, that was about 3 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock they woke me up, and I was starved, and I ate everything they brought me. At 9 o'clock, they gave me a sleeping pill and said, now this will hold you till in the morning. So I had a shot for the pain, was already kind of dead me, and in that pill. But yet, somewhere along in the wee hours of the morning, I would guess between 1 and 3, I had a supernatural visitor come and stand at the foot of my bed. Not as a person that I would see, but a light. I thought the blind over here was open because I felt the presence and sensed the presence of somebody. And I looked around at the door, and there was nobody in the door. Nobody had come in the room. But there's that light at the foot of my bed. Then I looked over at the window, and the blind's drawn. And by this time, all the hair on my arm standing up straight, and I'm prickling all over. And then a voice speaks to me. The boy says, now I've got you where I want you. Will you listen? I didn't know I'd been running so hard. He didn't wait for me to answer. Jesus said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing my word. And I could tell quite a story about trying to get a Bible from my house to the hospital from... No, that I won't go into that. Anyway, praise God. God is good. Can you say amen? I have... incidentally, any of y'all want to have a copy of this Hugs, Hugs, Hugs that I read last night? If you'd like to have a copy of it, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Just about everybody. Okay, we'll get Brother Glenn to have the girls back there make a bunch of copies, and we'll make it available to you. But you got to use it, though. Got to use it. Just as there was Jessie Penn Lewis at a time that God anointed her to write that expose of deceiving spirits, and I would suggest that every Christian have a copy of that book, but I don't think that everybody yet ought to get a copy of this book, New Age Versions. It's pretty deep, but it exposes, and it says the latest research supporting the authorized King James Version, and says the new case against the about a dozen different ones here, and I've made a few little incidents here, and I'll tell you what goes on in this thing. In Luke 24:36, Matthew 4:18, and Mark 2:15 and 10:52, the King James Version says Jesus. The NASB and the NIV say He. Leave out. In the Matthew 6:33, the King James Version says the kingdom of God. And the others say His kingdom. Revelations 21:4, 1 Timothy 3:16, Galatians 1:15, and Matthew 22:32, the King James says God, the others say He. Acts 22:16, it says the name of the Lord. The others say His name. Philippians 3:3, it says, King James says worship God. The others say worship. Ephesians 3:14 says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The others leave out of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, the words, our, which art in heaven, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth, but deliver us from evil, are all left out. That's Luke 11:2, if you want to look it up, if you've got any other versions. Now, that's just a tidbit. The writer of this book, Gail Riplinger, R-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R, has spent 6 years uncovering the works of the devil and pointing to where he is trying to get the people. He's not necessarily so much after us, but he's after those little ones. But if he can get you to lead them in the wrong direction, how happy is he? There's a tape available. There's a lot of people listening to it. I've given Brother Glenn a copy, and as soon as the leaders here hear what's going on in that, and I'm sure they'll make it available. We need to not be deceived. We don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices. If we're going to have the foundation, then we want to build on a solid foundation and not on some flim-flam foundation that leaves out half the Bible. The NIV version, according to Gale, has 64,000 less words than the old King James. Desperately trying to get out the name Jesus. He, him. And I hear that they were trying to come out with a neuter version, but that was stopped. There's a man by the name of Westcott, another one by the name of Court or Hort, that wrote a new Greek text. This man, and this is what they have used to bring forth the NIV and the NASB and some others. This man was a spiritualist. Didn't know God. The publisher, which used to be a Christian publishing company, is now HarperCollins. And I'm just sharing just a tidbit. I'm just absolutely staggered at the devil that's doing his utmost to. But then that's the way it will be. Christianity cannot stand when the authority of the Bible is undermined. Cannot. But isn't it amazing that so many years ago, I've read War on the Saints. But when God first showed me that book, it was a year before I could buy it. I remember a store in Tampa. I had a pocket full of money, to me, probably $70 or $80 or $90 or $100, I don't know. And I'm in the bookstore, and I get two books. One of them is War on the Saints. And by the time I get up to the cash register, the devil has talked me out of buying War on the Saints by the thoughts just rampaging through my mind. I'm being too extravagant. I can't afford this. I don't have enough money to get this book. And even after I bought it, it took another year before I could really dig into it. It seemed like every time I wanted to read that book, the phone would ring or somebody would call or somebody, something, you know. Honey, do this, do that. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 11. Let's let the Word of God speak for itself. Now, we're talking about foundation. Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. I was ministering deliverance to a woman one time, and after a while I said, "Demon, I command you to give me your name." I'd have got some name. And I think before that I'd ask her the question. I said, when she said, I love God. That's the way it was. Oh, yes, I just love God. And the Holy Ghost down inside of me said, wrong God. And I asked a question. I said, what God? And boy, that demon says, Satan. Satan's my God. That's who I worship. No hesitation. If we don't learn, folks, if we don't learn to control our mind, the devil will control us. It's either you bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ, which is the Word, or you will be subject to being led this way and that way by the powers of darkness. So it's either conquer your mind or you will be conquered. One or the other. The only way to conquer your mind is through the Spirit and the Word. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God. If the Bible says, and it does, that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, then we better find out what the unfruitful works of darkness is and have no fellowship with it. If the Bible says, and it does, that we're to come out from amongst them and be separate unto yourselves, saith God, and I will receive you, then we better do what the Word of God says. The Word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. You ever stop to think what that word sacrifice really means? Just stop and think about it right now. If God brought the Israelite nation out of bondage to Egypt and their shoes didn't even wear out, and they didn't go hungry, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes, they must have been doing something right. Today, you can't go into any city of any size whatsoever and not find 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 hospitals, mental institutions, jails, juvenile shelters. And it's all because of rebellion and defiance or disobedience to God. Amen. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice, all of that. Because complete and total obedience to God means that you're going to walk as He walked. Hallelujah. I got here the other day. I was so tired and wore out that I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I had been disobedient to God. Had to do some repenting. Too caught up in the things of this world. Busy, busy, busy. I got to do this. I just got to do that. little realizing that my body is the temple of God and God wants me to keep it holy. And if I get tired, I'm supposed to rest a little bit. That stuff will be there tomorrow. That's been one of my hardest problems to lick, is just to, I'm an outside go, go, go person. And something's going to, needs to be done. Let's do it. We got to change. Change is the name of the game. God wants us to change into His likeness, into His image. But again, if we don't build on the solid foundation of the Word of God, then we're going to build a castle up in the air and it's going to come falling down. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I've been a privileged person, I think. I've had God speak audibly to me twice and then come again in the middle of the night and wake me up and just shake me awake and tell me to get up and read Isaiah 58. And he did that three times, once a month, made me know that the answer to problems, and if we'll heed this and begin to be more of doers of the word, we'll see all kind of good things happen. In verse 6 it says of Isaiah 58, Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? How many people have I had tell me, Oh, but Brother George, I just can't fast. Why, even if I just miss a meal or two, I get such a terrible headache. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Bible says that my God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. So if I have a need to be strengthened in that period of time, then God is the source of my strength. Hallelujah. In fact, God said, I'll withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Think about it. Is anything good being withheld from you? Then you're not walking uprightly. Oh me or oh my. Hallelujah. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Glory to God. It just gets, as the little boy said, gooder and gooder as he licked on that big old ice cream cone. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 11. It says, If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There was a lot of flyers during the Vietnam War that were captured and shot down and captured. And they spent up to 7 years, I think that was the longest one, wasn't it, Colonel Speed?
Yes.
7 years in prison.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. And there's been an awful lot of testimonies come forth from those men. And the thing that held them together was the Word of God that they'd been taught as children. That's the reason they made it through. Figuring out codes that they could tap on the wall and remind each other of verses of Scripture and so on. What would we do today if all of a sudden they would just rush in here, a mighty army, and say, Okay, you've had it. Haul us off and put us in some dungeons or somewhere. Would we stand? And be ye transformed, Paul says in Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Transformed. As Brother Speed said last night, not raptured out, but transformed. I pray God will so deliver us from fear of man till we'll be bold enough to stand and look all the forces of hell right in the face and say, You can't kill me. There was a little Mexican evangelist that was walking across the desert in Mexico, and a couple of so-called bandidos overtook him, and one held a gun and the other one started frisking him, and they said, we're just going to take everything you got and we're going to kill you. He just looked at him and said, well,
Jesus loves you anyway.
Don't say that!
Yeah, Jesus really loves you. And about that time he said it the third time, the guy with the gun in his hand started shaking. And everything got kind of still, and he began to just preach to them Jesus. And pretty soon they threw down the gun and took off running. They're in Africa and gone to this town, and there's a lot of witchcraft going on, a lot of witch doctors in the town. They got together and had a powwow. I say they, the demons in them, they're going to kill this little missionary that's there. So they got themselves all worked up, and they come out of that place. And they started walking up the street, and all of a sudden around the corner, here come this bouncing ball of bright, bright light coming down the street toward them. I mean, blinding light to them. And pretty soon they stopped. Then they turned and ran. They were in all kind of directions. Well, when the light passed and you look at it from the back, it's just that little evangelist. But that's not what them demons saw. Let me tell you something. The less you put of the world inside of you through these five senses, which to me are the five gates of hell, and you learn to close these five senses to the forces of the hell, the world, and all, and put this inside of you, and you'll become a bright, shining light. The more that you meditate and study and ponder the Word of God, the more the Holy Ghost is going to clean you as a shade. And you'll shine forth. And there'll be times when you'll walk in some place and people will give you a wide berth. They don't even want to walk close to you. You'll stand in the line, in the checkout line at the grocery store, and all of a sudden people behind you will figure out they need something else. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine that others may see the good works of God in you and thereby glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's the words of Jesus. He didn't say, hear what you have to say so much, but let your light so shine that others may see the good works of God in you. Hallelujah. There's more seeing, there's more action on the Christian's part today and less talking. Might get a lot more done. Oh, we got to be ready to give an answer. If there's ask of us a reason for our happiness and joy and peace and love and so on. What an opportunity. In quietness and in rest shall be your confidence, the Lord says. Glory. If foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm in the process of helping a young family settle down in the Lord. This young wife all of a sudden says to her husband, they've been married 7 years, well, I don't feel anything for you anymore, so I guess I'll move out. Two pretty little girls. The devil just has her blinded. Her husband's trying to be a Christian, doing his utmost. So I had a privilege of going out and sitting down and talking with him a little bit, and I didn't beat around the bush. I just laid it all on the line, you know. I didn't say, now, Brother Wade, you just try to make it easy now on Sunday morning while you try to get your family to church. Now, Brother Laura, Sister Laura, you make sure you get up and get the little girls ready now, and you all try to go to church, you know. Make sure you shake the pastor's hand. Why, that'll help you. No, the church went to them. This building's not a church. It's a building. We're the church. The presence of God in this church just laid it all right on the line, said, this is the way, walk ye in it, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I said to Laura, I said, you're listening to the devil. You got two beautiful children here. And if that isn't enough for you to look at those children and have feeling for your husband who is the father of them, then I don't know. You just got real deep problems. When I go back, I expect to get with that family and I expect to cast a bunch of devils out of them and get them on the right road, good and solid, on a good foundation. Hallelujah. A good foundation. And what's that foundation?
Jesus.
Amen. I like to do that little thing we did, was it last night or I guess, I don't know, sometime. Give me a J and so on, give me a, you know. And who have you got? Who is it? Jesus. And we raised the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God.
Do you know that absolutely terrifies the forces of hell? I'm sure that Brother Jim Coffey could tell you that people that he's come into contact with, and we'd say the name Jesus, that boy, the hands would slap over the ears. Don't say that. I don't want to hear that name. No other name given under heaven. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in the verse 19. And it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Don't fool with it. And somebody will say, "Well, now, wait a minute. You know, I just can't help but thinking these thoughts." When you say that, you're deceived. I just can't help but think these thoughts. You're giving the devil the legal right to manipulate your mind. The mind is a receiver. If Brother Speed says something to me, I hear it, I receive it. It goes in. Then I can make a decision. Do I want to believe it or not? Well, the devil is a supernatural being, and he works through people and through the very process of placing thoughts within your mind and then turning around and making you believe that they're yours. I don't think evil thoughts in any way whatsoever. They may come to my mind, but I will not confess that they're mine. But I will confess that I am dead to self and alive to Christ. I will confess that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus the Lord. I will confess that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. I will confess the Word of God. And I do quite frequently, and the enemy starts bombarding my mind with some stuff, and I'll just start either praying in tongues — that's the best way to shut this thing up — or I will start talking about the blood of Jesus, that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus, redeemed out of the hand of Satan by the shed blood of Jesus, and so on. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is death. There is also a way that is right unto man, and it is obedience to the Word of God. Amen. That's the right way. Well, you can't obey something you don't know, can you? Oh, but now wait a minute, Brother George. I just have to look at such and such. Oh, that program is going to be so good. Well, I just have to have my special kind of music. And on we could go. Brother Speed, stand up just a minute. Let's let Brother Speed here, let's let him be God. Okay? Now, he's going to represent God for a minute.
I always knew God was a Marine.
Yes, sir.
Because our slogan, Semper Fidelis, means always faithful, so that has to be God.
So Brother Speed's representing God now, and he wants to talk to me, okay? But every time he says, you know, I'm, "Oh, what'd you say, Brother Coffey?" And then Brother Speed opens, and I, "What did you say, sister?" He tries to talk to me, and, "Well, let me listen to the radio." He tries to talk to me, "Well, I got to see what the paper has to say. Oh, I got to look at the soap opera. Oh, well, I got to do so-and-so," see? We're so busy doing our own stuff until God doesn't get a chance to talk to us when he wants to. Well, I wish God would really talk to me. How many of you ever said that? "Oh, I wish I could hear God." Sit down and open your Bible and hear God with your eyes. And the more you hear God with your eyes, the more you're going to hear him in that inner man. If you can do it, God's made a way that we can hear him with our ears. Get yourself the Bible on cassette tape. Get you a recorder, a player, and just listen to it while you're washing the dishes, while you're driving your car, while you're doing whatever. Amen. My wife's got the New Testament on tape, and she Even if she gets up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, she'll turn the tape over and turn on and go back and go to sleep. Spirit never sleeps. They've proven that with college students who play stuff and not even study and play stuff and then listen to go do their tests and pass it. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Let's look at this way. Now, I don't know if this is right. I'm just going by what the Lord's given me. I never saw it this way before. I'm a great house for God. So are you. And every thought that's in that house or my house that doesn't honor God, it is some to dishonor. Get rid of it. If all of a sudden we could see up here on a huge screen, just clean across here, it'd take the whole wall, maybe even more, but all of a sudden we could see all the words that we've ever spoken during our life, just in line after line after line. And God said, now, how many of those would you like to retract? Here's your nice eraser. Just go up there and I think most of us would probably clean the board. The words of a wise man are few. The words of a wise woman are fewer. Should I duck down and hide? Now are you men ready? If we men would do and be what God's ordained for us to be, if we walked in the authority of Almighty God, when our wives would get miscued and misled in any way by the devil, we'd look at her and we'd say, honey, I love you, but I don't like what just come out of your mouth. In the name of Jesus, I command that thing, get out. I had to do that to my wife shortly after. She and the lady that I got now is my second wife. My first one at 23 years decided she didn't want anything more to do with me. She was demon-possessed, had been all of her life. I couldn't figure it out. And the only way that I did figure it out is after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and the light comes shining into me, and the darkness said, no, we'll take her somewhere else. And nothing or nobody could reach her. I tried every way possible, even through Derek Prince and through a lot of others. And it was just, she was adamant. But anyway, some 5 years later, the Lord blessed me with the precious woman that I have today. This coming November the 7th, we'll be married 20 years. Shortly after we were married, I'm down in West Palm Beach area, and I've got to travel from West Palm Beach up to Palm Beach to minister to a family. We get out on 95, and all of a sudden, this stuff starts rolling out of my wife's mouth, just totally negative. What would you do? I won't let you answer. See, the devil was doing his utmost to create dissension and strife between she and I so that I would stop on the trip that I was taking for God, get disgusted, listen to my head, turn around, go back and say, forget it. No, I didn't do that. I just looked over and I said, devil, in Jesus' name, shut up. I'll deal with you tomorrow. Just like that, there was not another word come out of her mouth. We went on and we ministered that family, and that dear husband, that man that was a choir director in a big Pentecostal holiness church, that every time there was he was also an officer in a full gospel chapter down in Fort Pierce. And at every meeting, when people were praising and worshiping the Lord like we were doing here, he'd be sitting over there boo-hooing and carrying on and just crying his head off. The Lord drew my attention to that man, and I And I'm watching him, we're looking at him, and God says, that's not right. That's not me. So we got to do some talking, and I wound up going to his home. That evening, and during a little time of deliverance, there were six demons that left that man. Each one barked like a different kind of a dog. Six different kind of dog spirits, I guess you'd call them. His wife got some freedom, and his three teenage children that he'd never talked to about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, nobody else had, I sit them down and talk with them, and all three of them were open and responsive and receptive and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You see, if I would have listened to my head, if I'd have been in the natural when what this woman said, if I hadn't have discerned it, then I would immediately say, now I'm blah, blah, and started after her. She wasn't the problem. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The devil says, oh, yeah, I don't care what the Bible says. I'll get that couple to wrestling against each other. I've seen and heard of situations where a man and his wife would be in a violent argument and somebody go up there and try to say, hey, now let's have a little peace, and both of them turn on him. That's demons at work. God made us in His image, right? And God is love and peace and joy, right? Well, if anything other than love and peace and joy and the other fruit of the Spirit is not coming forth from us, then it must be coming forth from our enemy, the devil. So we just got to wise up more and more and stop battling with each other and ourselves and look in the mirror and say, hey, George, you're going to walk in obedience to God. Talk to yourself. And I said to self, straighten up. And self said, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I want to do my own thing. Spirit man's got to get stronger than the natural man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Howbeit, if you're spiritual, you discern all things. The word discern there is judge. I judge that thought that come to my mind to be right out of the pit of hell. I refuse it in Jesus' name. I judge that thought that says I got the mully grubs or I'm getting depressed. I judge that to be right out of the pit. No, I'm not depressed. I've got the joy of the Lord. Well, now, Brother George, you don't look so good this morning. Who said I had to go by my looks? Well, you must not feel too good this morning. Who said I had to go by my feelings? I am what God says I am. Doesn't make any difference what you say I am or what my head says I am. I am what God says I am. Neil T. Anderson's book over there, Victory Over the Darkness, will tell you who you are in Christ. Stir you up. Glory to God. Psalm 119. We'll start there with verse... No, I won't start at verse 1. We'd be here till day after tomorrow going through that. But that's a good one for you to read sometime. Maybe several times. We want to go to verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Again, do you see the subtleness of the enemy in gradually taking things out and getting new translations and new versions and taking out when the Word of God says that the heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Amen. And the devil says, oh yeah, we'll see about that. We'll take out a few words out of this one and a few out of this one, and then later on we'll come up with another kind of version, and we'll take a few more words out and a few more words out, and then pretty soon you've got nothing but just a dead book. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is superior to any and all other words. Any and all other words must bow the knee to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's go through some scriptures very quickly and we'll see what we're talking about. Psalms 12. Psalms 12, verse 6.
The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Hallelujah. Psalms 92, verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And thy thoughts are very deep. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you want your thoughts to become God's thoughts? Then meditate, study, ponder the Word of God. You don't have to memorize the Word. If a simple memorization will give you a head knowledge of the Word. But meditating, studying and pondering the Word and hiding the Word in your heart or spirit, and then in, whenever the need is, the Holy Ghost will bring it rolling to your mind. I never will forget when I first surrendered my life to the Lord, be 30 years ago in August, totally give up, trying to be a churchy person. And I said, okay, now I won nickels and dimes as a kid memorizing short psalms, so I guess I better really get busy and memorize some Word. So I sit down in the den, got my Bible, and opened it, and I read one verse four, five, six times, and I closed my Bible, and my mind was blank. Opened it up, read it some more. Closed my Bible, my mind's blank. And I was beginning to get kind of flustered. All of a sudden, the Lord said, I didn't tell you to memorize. I told you to hide the Word in your heart. So I just read, study the Word, and say, okay, Holy Ghost, whatever you want brought out, do it. Hallelujah. Yes. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? They have rejected the word of the Lord. According to Gail Riplinger, five people that were involved in the translation of the NIV from that stupid, messed up text have lost their ability to speak. Hallelujah. God's own estimate of His Word is that it is superior because it is Himself. He is superior in thought, promise, purpose, power, and results. His superiority is seen in the fact that the true Word of God has nothing in it but truth. Its superiority is seen in the fact that it contains promises that are backed by God's infinite resource and power. Is anything too hard for God? Romans 8:31 says, if God be for you, in other words, nothing can be against you. Nothing. Glory. Well, turn with me to Psalm 19. I've got a few other scriptures, but just going to end up with Psalm 19. I'd like for you to really center in on that psalm and let it dig in. Psalm 19, we'll begin at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, if you think you know it all, it won't make you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We need to become sensitive enough, filled enough with the presence of God. We can look at somebody, look at their eyes, and just about tell how much of the Word of God they got in them. Because the more of the Word of God you've got in you, the brighter and clearer your eyes are going to become. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Didn't say a while, did it? Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true,
and righteous altogether. Now, how much are they to be desired? Just maybe every Sunday or Wednesday? Well, maybe 10 minutes in the morning? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, it won't do no good for me to read the Bible. Why, just, you know, blah, blah. Have a pity party? No. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And then David says in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Would you stand to your feet, please? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Jesus said that by our words we're justified and by our words we're condemned. I want to lead you in a confession that will put you in a position of possession. Not anything possessing you, but you possessing yourself. Is that all right? Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Lord Jesus, I thank you for making a way for me to be transformed and to walk with you even as you walk in this earth today. Not the earth that we walk on in the natural, but the earth that we are. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are changing me from glory to glory, that I might become a living epistle read of all men. Oh God, I'm a needy person, and I ask your help to see me through any and everything that comes against me. I confess that I am the righteousness of God. I confess that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I confess that the victory is mine. The battle is the Lord's, and He doesn't ever fail. I am victorious. I'm full of the joy of the Lord. I refuse to be sad. I refuse to be despondent. I refuse to be despairing. I refuse to be depressed, oppressed, harassed, intimidated by the forces of darkness. In Jesus' name, I will be a servant of the Most High God. His name is Jesus. Now praise Him. Now, glory to God. Father, I agree with everything these precious people have said. By the leading of your Spirit, I agree with them. They are more than conquerors. They are all that we've said that we are. And Father, I bless them now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for each and every one just being filled to an overflowing more and more as the days go by. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.